Good morning. Welcome back to our second day of the conference, of the conference tracks. There's a tutorial on the first day, so you're never sure which is how to count the first and second day and third day. So it's the third day of Samba XP. I hope you all enjoyed the party and you're awake and ready for our talks. Our first speaker this morning is Michael Adam, my colleague, and he will be talking about to win bind or not to win bind. That is not the question.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me? Great. So, good morning. People are still coming. Yeah, so you're awake, that's great. I'm glad you made it this early. I'm also glad I made it this early. So, the topic of this talk is, about win-bind. Should we do it? Shouldn't we do it? What's best practices and so on? Well, the answer is already there. Of course we should use win-bind. So, that's it. Thank you. Or maybe there are more questions. Oh, just kidding. I just wanted to get the shortest talk award. Seriously, what I intend to do here is trigger a discussion. The discussion that is going on, this topic has been present on the mailing list. Especially the Samba mailing list. And it's also a topic that is frequently met when in looking at various customer situations where we have grown setups. What I want to do is here, I will present a couple of ideas, a couple of views that may be very personal. And I would then like to invite all of you to participate in a discussion to see, what are best practices? Maybe the view that I and a couple of other Samba people have is a little special. We are missing some important points. So I'm happy to see a couple of Red Hat people here who are working on the SSSD, which can serve as a substitute in some circumstances for WinBind or something that extends functionalities. And so, I'd like to discuss all this. So there are a couple of topics. First of all, of course, I'd like to, next after looking over these topics, I'd like to share a little bit what I and I think a couple of others consider as the standard setups for Samba domain members, Samba Active Directory domain controllers. And what happens still since quite some time is discussions going on, especially not on the Samba technical, but on the Samba mailing list of a couple of users discussing problems with especially Active Directory setups and what they are doing. And I'd like maybe I can gain a little better understanding. And maybe I also can convey some of the ideas why the answers we are usually giving, or at least some of us are usually giving, are this way. So, important point is what I call legacy member setups, so file server setups that come from an old heritage stemming from also very heterogeneous environments where we don't only have Windows for authentication and for users, but also old Unix, classical Unix stuff like NIS and so on, LDAP setups. Compare them to what can I do with WinBind setups, what I call standard setups. What about WinBind and SSSD on member servers? What about all these? What can I do when I have to access the servers with NFS? How to integrate with NSSwitch and so on. Active Directory setups, on the other hand, which are fairly new, where I have, even in Samba, it's where we're moving here. I'll describe a little bit what's currently there and where we are heading. Then the one of the important topics here is to bring the Samba, the source 3, the file servers, WinBind daemon, into the Active Directory setup, which isn't currently there, and what people are using in combination SSD, WinBind, and so on in the Active Directory domain controller case. So that's just a couple of points that should trigger discussions here, and yeah, of course it, the best thing would have been if many of the people from the Samba mailing list would have been here to discuss all this directly and not in this. Yes, Steve. Anybody who considers himself a member of the Steve alias? Linda? Oh, okay. Well, these are topics. Okay. So, what is WinBind? What are major roles of this WinBind? So, WinBind has... so there's this notion that WinBind is notoriously difficult to set up and to handle for some reason. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, maybe I'm just too young in the Samba environment to know that. Classical setups used to get around without WinBind in place, and the Samba team since quite a while says, okay, the standard setup includes WinBind in a domain member, for instance, and it's there's this notion that it's really very difficult to set up and run, and it makes things more complex and more difficult. Well, what is this WinBind thing all about? There are two main roles. The authentication proxy to the domain when we are a member, and the ID mapping. So what's that about? Of course, when we are a member server in a domain, Samba or Windows domain, access to the file server needs to be authenticated, and so we have this SMBD, the file server daemon, which forks a child process for each connection, for each TCP connection that comes in, and so this connection is then also responsible for authentication. So what happens if you don't run this WinBind daemon, just the Samba daemon? There is a fallback code path nowadays, a legacy code path as we call it, where each of these Samba child processes reaches out to the domain controller and authenticates the user. So if we have 1,000 users, we maintain 1,000 connections, or at least sporadically, so many connections to the domain controller. WinBind is there to somehow remove the need and remove some network traffic latencies here. It's a caching authentication proxy. So these SMBDs, if WinBind is running and properly configured, which is not so hard after all, these SMBD processes locally connect to the WinBind daemon and say, aha, okay, I want to authenticate this user. And if WinBind has these credentials already cached, it directly responds. Otherwise, it has this single or a couple of connections to the main controller, and it can just forward these authentication requests. So that's quite reasonable. And the other thing is ID mapping. Of course, there's always the problem in a Samba setup. Samba has to translate Windows stuff to Unix stuff, basically, and very important for accessing files is translating the users. And so under Windows, a user has an identity, which is called an SID, security identifier, which is a worldwide unique long list of digits, if you want to so, and under Unix. So each Windows system has its own base. So these IDs are really unique, and on Unix we have these Unix IDs just counting from root equals zero up, the same way or a similar way on each Unix system. So we need to map these big Windows identities into Unix IDs. And well, if WinBind is running and properly configured, it is one of the tasks of WinBind to do this. What happens is WinBind maintains a database or an algorithm, or it accesses a remote database in order to obtain or calculate a mapping Windows user, Windows SID, Windows group to Unix user group, user ID or group ID. And then, okay, that's just for Samba internally. How does these really get into the system? There is this NSSwitch system in Linux, and we have a library, a plugin for NSSwitch to talk to our Winbind daemon. And so if a system process reaches out and says, what is the Unix ID or what is the password struct of a user called this and that way, if it is not found in the password file and NSSwitch is properly configured, it calls out to Winbind, and Winbind assembles all this information, gets group membership information from the domain controller, and especially does this ID mapping. And so we get a proper Unix user and group struct for such a name or ID in the system. So once Winbind is configured to do ID mapping, it's running, and we have NSSwitch, the NSSwitch library installed in the NSSwitch configuration. These users are virtually created and are present in the system. If Winbind is not running, we have to in a different way get these users into the system. So either we have to maintain them all in the password database, or if we can access, for instance, some LDAP server where we can also see the user information, we can let NSSwitch directly talk to LDAP. I'll have a little more information about that. But that's one of the very classical setups in the Unix world. Not so much with the Windows domain, but especially if there's a Samba domain with LDAP, I frequently encounter systems configured like that. The member servers are directly accessing the LDAP server. Samba and NSSwitch are configured to do that. Well, it's possible, but still, some of the things aren't, especially in newer version of Samba, aren't working that well anymore, because this mechanism is really considered legacy. So the first attempt is always to go to Winbind, and only if that's not reachable, fall back to going to NSSwitch, fall back to doing direct authentication, and so forth. So these two roles here, authentication proxy and ID mapping, and then also hooked into NSSwitch, are the major roles of this Winbind daemon. You see, it's not so fancy, it's very important, very central for what Samba does. Okay, so I talked a little bit about that already. What according to Samba or to me, or I don't know, the standard setups on a member server, as I said it, we have the SMB daemon. This uses something called libwb client. It's a client, a protocol library, which is directly tied in this case to the Winbind daemon. Winbind daemon then, for instance, so what I wanted to express here is that this Winbind is accessed via libwb client from SMBD, and it's also accessed via NSSwitch, via this NSS Winbind library. And then Winbind has its task. It goes to ID mapping, it goes to the authentication to the domain, and so on and so forth. So this is expressed, so it's not very well. I didn't have the time to really draw nice pictures. I hope you get the idea. So what Winbind does is it reaches out to Active Directory and to ID mapping. So this is still rather simple. In the Active Directory domain controller setup, we have the SMBD, and here I indicate that this is, in that case, a child process of the main Samba daemon, the Active Directory daemon. This talks to, well, I just call it Samba here, it directly talks, in our case, to the database for authentication, could also use network mechanisms here, so it has been a subject of discussion, but it's not the topic of this talk. And on the other hand, Samba, this for authentication, and this is for ID mapping. Samba also talks to the Winbind daemon, so the So this is not an external daemon, this is a component of the Samba daemon. This is why I put Samba here in front and in the braces here, the windbind task, especially not with a second D. This is currently how it works. So this is just a task component inside the Samba daemon, and this also speaks the protocol of our windbind, and we can Samba, just instead of like here talking via libwb client to the WinBind external daemon, talks to the built-in WinBind component. And this is also accessed via the NSS WinBind via NS switch. So this is the thing, for instance, that is frequently omitted. Many questions on the Samba mailing list stem from the fact that people do it like this. They just start Samba, but they don't put WinBind into NS switch configuration. So the system doesn't see the users that are there from the virtually there created by Samba. I can show you in a minute how that works. So if you put it into NS switch, the WinBind configuration part, then you'll see all the users and groups from our domain, also as Unix users and groups in the system, including group memberships and so on. And what we would like to do, because this is kind of limited, it has been agreed upon as a later task when we were releasing Samba 4.0, and it has recently been started, and I have actually hoped to be able to present something today. I wanted to take some time. I didn't quite manage, and fortunately Andrew has taken on the subject, Andrew Bartlett, who unfortunately is not here today. He couldn't make it to the conference, so yeah, he might have given a talk about that in much more detail technically. But Andrew has started to work on replacing the internal WinBind component, and just like Samba starts the SMBD for file serving, it starts in his work in progress branch the WinBind daemon from source 3, the classical WinBind daemon, in order to do ID mapping and so on. Where this is first done, it teaches the WinBind daemon to, some way or another, use the same model for ID mapping that currently Samba 4 is doing, which is different from what Samba 3 is doing, or source, so the file server WinBind is doing. And then as a later step, when all this infrastructure is in place, the idea is to switch over to the other model, to have this opportunity, and then we can do a lot of other things, this will help a lot in supporting trusted domains, for instance, because we need to somehow get the users from the other domains into our system. So that's why this WinBind daemon here is also the thing that we want to have in our Active Directory domain controller setup eventually. I don't think so. This is work in progress, so I think this will only be there in Samba 4.3, not earlier, because it's still so early in the stage, unfortunately. Well, but anyways, also in this case, of course, the WinBind will be configured in NS switch and will get these users into the system. Right. So I said, okay, I wanted to invite for discussion. That's what I consider the standard use cases and standard setups. Is there any comments from anybody here up to this? Yes, Stefan.
When you change to the WinBind D on the domain controller, will there also be the RIT ID mapping then on the domain controller?
Because yes,
now
not
you have all the user mapping starts with the 3 million ID and don't have the exact WinBind, the ID mapping.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. Okay, I can elaborate a little bit. The first thing is to exchange the component that does the mapping. So in the first approach, it will just do the same idmap.ldb style mapping that is done now. And as a second step, configuration can be changed so that the different modes, modes that are known from Samba 3 setups can be used. But that will be the second step. I don't know how fast that will be, but I think it's, of course, what we want to do, right? Uh-huh. Of course, I mean, currently in the Samba 4 domain controller setup, you can't configure a lot. It just, there's the standard range for the own domain, and basically that's it. Samba 3's WinBind daemon, especially for ID mapping, is very flexible, probably too flexible. And yeah, so that's also a point of discussion that can come a little later here. Where do we want to go Samba 3 or member server-wise with ID mapping configuration? Of course, there's also a slightly unfortunate history attached to ID mapping. I mean, the configuration of ID mapping in the Samba 3 releases has changed a lot of times, always for good reasons. We always noticed that, okay, there were limitations we needed to address, and yeah, it has taken a couple of iterations of how ID mapping is configured, and maybe this has contributed to this notion of WinBind being awfully complicated. But actually, it's not. It's not so complicated. Hey, Jeremy has something to say.
Yes, I was going to ask Simo to get up and start talking. Because I know you have opinions and I want to hear them.
Okay, I have given talks addressing the history of ID mapping. Simo has basically owned or driven one iteration there, and then there have been several things. And
So what I'd like to Simo to talk about, if you would, is a little bit about how SSSD does the same thing and how we can share code and integrate, and what advice you would have as to fix this problem.
Okay, let's defer this a little because it will be mentioned on one of the next slides.
I won't go there for now. I do have a comment. One is I agree with Michael about the ID map. We did try to make it better in time, and you know, their way to hell is paved with good intentions. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, one thing I don't know. You already say that you discussed the ID map authorized stuff in another talk, right? The authorized stuff and ID mapping. You discussed that already. You said.
Well, in past conferences, I gave talks about ID mapping when this was rewritten. Not this one. No.
Okay.
So you mean the auto-read stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you have time at the end, we can discuss this. Okay. So I don't know whether it's for the. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, on this one in particular, I just have one comment, and this is something I said maybe in the past. Should we consider a little bit of re-architecture? You identified two roles for WinBind. One is ID mapping, and the other is proxy for authentication. Mm-hmm. And the component that does that in the Windows world is usually the LSA, SS daemon. And we have part of it in SMBD.
Can you move the microphone?
Sorry, part of it in SMBD, this daemon, part of the task that this daemon should do are actually in WinBind. Maybe we should also think a little bit from a higher level perspective whether we should restructure the code and move parts of WinBind and parts that are now in SMBD to something else that does it all.
Well, yes, maybe.
Just discussion.
So the strategy or the tendency where we were moving is basically to have WinBind being more rooted more firmly with its roles, and also to get stuff out of SMBD, have SMBD really be the file server, and get rid of stuff. And of course, we always have to keep these support for the old things. So we most of the times have this legacy code path somewhere. So really, running WinBind and enforcing it and requiring it, we could already simplify the SMBD code for some extent. And I agree that we may. Maybe we should add more features or extend that a little bit, what WinBind does, and slim down SMBD, possibly, yes. And
slim down WinBind as well.
Yes, we could. So, for instance, one example. Nowadays, if you want to get the users into the system differently, you can still run WinBind. You just don't configure ID mapping. It will then only serve as an authentication proxy. There's a problem attached to that. Because in new Samba versions, a lot of access checking is done on the Windows, on the SMB level, not on the Unix level. Earlier versions mapped the Windows tokens down to Unix and did access checks there before really accessing the files. Nowadays, we are behaving more correctly, like Windows semantics or SMB semantics prescribe it. We lift Unix tokens up to the SMB level, or maybe we use ACL, etc. We already have Windows tokens or Windows ACLs. We compare them with Windows tokens. So that's a enhanced precision in doing access checks, for instance. But this means that when we are not doing ID mapping, but only authentication proxy, Samba will consider the users that are mapped down and up again as different objects as the Windows objects that come in. And so for that, we have a trick. It's called a username map. So we can run WinBite in that scenario. Don't configure ID mapping. Let NSSwitch do whatever it does. And then use this username map script equals echo. So the identical mapping on the name will then lead to the access checks basically working. So if you don't do this, it will fail. It just won't work. So there's the trick attached to that. It's not well documented, and yeah, it is a workaround if you want. But that's one of the reasons why these legacy setups or these mixed setups, well, gradually don't work that well anymore. So it's all moving towards WinBind, towards SMB level checking, and so on. Yeah, so maybe I can demonstrate this also. All right, so that's the standard things. Maybe let's just see what are strange setups, according to me at least. When I see these setups, I have to frown a little bit and wrap my head, because I'm thinking so much in terms of these standard setups. Okay, so we have SMBD. SMBD, so there's no WinBind to talk to, so SMBD has to fall back to going directly to NSSwitch, and NSSwitch uses LDAP, NIS, or the file. So you have to really maintain your users elsewhere, or you have a different path to your user database, not via WinBind. This is less direct, and yeah, there may be problems attached. SMBD for authentication, talking directly to the domain controller, the member server, and also, for instance, we have the setups where NSSwitch is talking via SSSD to the domain controller and doing ID mapping and stuff, which I have to admit are setups that I don't know very well yet. So we can discuss this, where how SSSD is positioned in all this setup compared to WinBind and so on and so forth. And the domain controller, we have SMBD as a Samba process talking to the Samba daemon for authentication. That's as before. But then, and the important thing is here, of course, the SMBD talks to WinBind for ID mapping, talks to Samba or directly to the database for authentication. But then, on the NSSwitch level, when people don't enter NS as WinBind and talk to the WinBind component that's running anyways, but instead enter SSSD, and this goes to the domain and asks for RFC, so for the POSIX attributes there, then we potentially have a different view of what a Unix ID is associated to a certain user. So Samba internally might consider this a quite different Unix ID than what is down here. So that's a real problem, I think, and that's one of the things that is discussed on the mailing lists all the time. So. These are the, I'd say, stranger setups, or the setups that needs discussion, and I need some clarification about this. Yes, so, Simo.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I tell you to think about splitting a little bit WinBind is that, in my opinion, we try to be a little bit too clever in general due to the fact that we own both the SMBD and the WinBind project. We decided a long time ago to say, well, you know, we already know that the old information WinBind, so we ask directly WinBind for the information for the Unix user, and we don't go to NSSwitch. I think we should always go to NSSwitch. And it might seem like a little bit longer path, but it still is just a socket. It doesn't matter which way you go. But if you always go to NSSwitch, you're always consistent.
Well,
in resolving a user to its Unix IDs, because you don't have two paths like what happens here.
Well, it's different. The layers are switched. In the setup I was referring to as standard was Samba components are responsible for these things. They talk to each each other in order to take shortcuts, of course, but the NSSwitch system also reaches out to Samba components.
But that's the problem. The fact that you have shortcuts means that you have two views when you have the strange
setups. It's using the same hooks that NSSwitch is using. If you don't configure it properly, if you don't configure the Unix system to use WinBind in that case, as it's called, of course you can create inconsistencies. But that's, I'd say, a misconfiguration. I don't know.
I don't agree, but...
Because you can, in times, internal things can be much more efficient. For instance, one problem is the Unix system. When you go to the Unix system, Jeremy is next. When you go to the Unix system for ID mapping, you do a lot of stuff that is really suboptimal. You get the whole password and group structs just to get the ID associated to a name. We can do this much more efficiently. Yeah, and especially the member setup, nested groups, whatever. This, and we can do these specific calls, avoiding going the expensive way via NSSwitch. Not, I mean, not the socket is not a problem. Oh, okay. If you can just go to a database record or calculate a mapping from a user to a Unix ID, and instead have to go to NSSwitch. You get NSSwitch has the only means you have is getting the whole group struct. It means the members, and these members are so you have to reach out to the domain controller if you don't have it in the cache. You have to reach out to the domain controller, get the group list, and then you see groups, member of groups. You have to expand these to make it a flat list of user IDs for that case, and then map these user IDs I think back to names. So that's really a highly complex and arbitrarily complex and expensive call compared to just looking into a database or even calculating a mapping. Jeremy.
No, I, to be honest, that's the point. We take shortcuts to be faster, but other Unix processes on the system can't take those shortcuts.
Right.
Right. So I think Simo has a point in that if we make the generic case going through an NSSwitch faster by putting in caching layers or whatever, and I agree the interfaces suck, they're not what we would want, but work put into making the general case faster makes everybody faster.
The first time you expand a group, I mean, we could go the way and say we don't use group members at all. That would be a valid thing to do, and if we went there, fine. We have this shortcut for domain groups, that we don't enumerate group members.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the general case, this is a tough choice to make, because we then kind of violate
Yeah.
I mean, all this group concept is kind of wrong anyway, because we only can list names as members here, where users in NSSwitch, where the group model in Windows is much richer.
Yes.
So WinBind really has to expand all that stuff. I mean, this is the whole and only reason why T-Event Rec exists, because We needed this complex process to be completely asynchronous. That's the main reason why T-Event Rec exists right now.
But imagine that you are a Unix process doing this for the first time. You're going to take that hit. You're going to take that hit of the initial of WinBind doing it for you. The point is then, can we put in enough caching in WinBind to make this usable over the NSSwitch interface?
So one problem.
I believe my gut feeling is no, we can't.
And one additional problem here is that this can't even be correct.
Exactly.
Because for the user, you can only get the correct group information at the point of authentication, when you receive the pack or the answer to the NTLM authentication. So go reaching out to the domain controller as an administrator, especially as a member server computer account, is bound to fail. I mean, you won't. So the chances are really high that you don't get
group memberships at all. That's the inverse problem.
Pardon?
That's the inverse problem.
The inverse.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about getting groups for a user.
Yeah.
We're talking about the much harder problem to really enumerate group members.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, this could possibly work in the purely one domain case. I mean,
yeah.
It's absolutely bound to fail in the multi-domain case. And we just, for enumerating group members, we have to contact trusted domain controllers, and this does not work, period.
But this doesn't depend on the fact whether we go to any switch or we take shortcuts. This problem exists regardless. So it doesn't.
Yes, but
doesn't really matter.
So.
But inside Samba, we usually don't need it. We just need an ID or something like that.
I mean, the main problem we are facing here is any switch sucks. Sucks performance-wise so badly that we need short. From my point of view,
at least in SSSD, In SSSD, I put it in a way to make it not sucks performance-wise. So that problem can be solved to some degree.
Okay, then there are two questions. How do you do it? Second, why didn't you do it in WinBind in the first place? Okay.
How do I do it?
Yes.
I just do what NSCD does.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's basically an mmap cache in the same process. So if it's if something is not cached, there is nothing you can do. You always have to go to the network.
Yeah. Right?
So the network latency is
low.
So I don't care whether internally.
If all you want is the UID for a name, or vice versa, I'm not willing to take that hit because, in particular, because we do these mappings these days very, very often.
Yeah.
So you don't have to take that hit because if the information is cached, it's already there.
Well,
I mean, it rarely.
It's still, if you're really seriously doing file server, I mean, big scale file server things with a lot of users in big domains with a lot of IOs, you hit this bottleneck, and it's great that we don't go via an NS switch each time. So
I think we should go forward with
NSS responding part caches the data that was requested for NSS in MMAP takeoff.
NSS responder part caches data at least in in SSSD case in process. Use an mmap cache. So in fact, those identities that were resolved previously, you will never hit the NSS communication again because your PAM SSS or NSS SSSD will already handle this. That's actually what we are trying to kind of share it with WinBind as well when the NSS and PAM modules from SSSD would be separated into a project of their own, so we can basically get the same performance contributions shared.
I see all these points in a standard RFC something LDAP world. I think Active Directory is a little different because it doesn't allow much of the information to be retrieved in the first place, and I mean we. Many of these problems we have on the mailing lists and whatever confused users is, this doesn't work, please tell me why. And then we have to go in and figure out that some administrator has stripped down the ACLs on Active Directory such that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And caching does not help in all cases. We at IBM do connection tests where we ramp up the connections from 1 to 5,000 to really make sure that the system can stand up with that. And they are all new user at the first time, so caching does not help in this case. So if there is a penalty because of NSS, this would, you know, just make this worse and would break such a scenario.
Also, I mean, talking about the cluster case, Matthias is talking about. Do you want this cache to be global in the cluster, or do you want this cache to be per node? So you have to retrieve the information 10 times if you have a 10-node cluster. I mean, these are all really tough tuning questions that we kind of avoid with taking these shortcuts.
And also, WinBind does also cache group memberships and so on and so forth. The caches are there, so maybe this can be improved for sure. And WinBind has improved a lot in the last couple of years. There's another. Ira wants to make a comment.
Yeah, in listening to this, one of the questions that comes to mind is, you know, NSS switches depending on, you know, the API changes depending on what system we're on. Who says that we shouldn't change the NSS API to do what we want it to do here?
We've been there.
We have?
Yeah. We can make a new map, for example, for a specific agent.
Well, I mean, if there's shortcuts we're taking, and if there's a way to codify the shortcuts so that other processes can take advantage, that seems like the right thing to do so that then if we want to use SSSD or we want to use WinBind or we want to use whatever, they all can play.
So we know that sometimes getting this information is hard and slow. We also know we need a really good caching layer. So a way forward might be to share a caching layer, improve that as much as we can so that local processors can pull out of their local caching layer whatever we can get, and we stick it in there by whatever means that we can. So that means in the standard Unix case, it does NS switch calls. They have to take the hit sometimes. They have to take the problem. They can't get the information. In the areas where we take shortcuts, we hide it. I think what would be nice is if the SMBD server-side code was able to use NS switch, and where we needed the shortcuts, have those shortcuts happen essentially magically, as it were, so that the information is requested, dumped into the cache, and then we retrieve it via the NS switch mechanisms. Because the problem is, and I know this problem because I've worked in this code, is that once you start adding the shortcut mechanisms, there's multiple code paths to get the information, it can diverge, you get problems. If we can feed everything back through, if we have a caching layer that's good enough that everything can be retrieved in that way, and I'm not sure with the current NS Volca, I know you're looking sort of like this is crap. But if we have an NS switch interface that's rich enough that we, God, I hate that word, sorry, that is broad enough that we can get the information we need out of it, then we can squirrel it away in those caches by whatever dirty tricks we have to do under the covers. And then later on, as things improve, you know, because the goal should be we just ask NS switch. I completely agree with Simo. The end goal should be NS switch is a good enough interface to do what we want, and we always ask it. Because at that point, everybody gets the same stuff.
But well, I don't agree. I think in the Samba environment, it's very natural to have, okay, you have the Samba, the file server daemon, you have WinBind that can, for on the lower level, do very atomic small calls, and then stacked on top of that, you have NS switch, which is highly aggregate stuff. If you always go that way, that the NS switch module of WinBind uses the lower level calls, it will always be consistent. The only danger of not being consistent is there if you don't use WinBind and NS switch. Otherwise, you are always consistent. So the standard setup I was referring to will be consistent. So my question is, which maybe we can discuss to a greater extent and greater depth tomorrow for all of those who are still there. I mean, it's an important thing, and I think it's good if we are here, so we need to come to an end here. It's good that we're all here and we can sit down and really discuss this. I'd like to understand the motivation, the need of having a substitute for WinBind. Why, in the case where we have our own domain, if we have a Windows domain we are a member of, why WinBind is not good enough in that case? So if WinBind is there in the picture in NS switch and of course in Samba, then it's completely consistent and natural to do this. If we just want the specific information, use the low level calls, and an external user can use the NS switch interface and it gets the consistent view of the high level information. It's quite natural. And I wanted to also to demo it in the AD domain controller setup, for instance, using NS switch. We have done a couple of bug fixes there. It works, but yeah. So maybe that's enough for now. And this time, no questions at the end, but just thank you. And maybe
thank
we can
you,
continue this tomorrow.
And also for this discussion.
Our next speaker is Alexander Bokovoy from Red Hat. And we need a moment to set up.